Welcome to Dear Timothy Podcast with Maxwell Ogaga, a practical wisdom-filled podcast for pastors and ministry leaders.
The team said, we concluded that God had called us to Macedonia. So when you ask them who called you to Macedonia, they wouldn't say Paul, they'll say God. Because they took God's vision from Paul as their vision. An associate pastor is not a stepping stone, it's not an apprenticeship system to becoming a senior pastor. And that's why church workers sometimes get disgruntled because they feel they have not been promoted. Because they think the church work as, you know, a criteria to... No! It's your vision now. So I tell my media people, take the media vision as your vision. God has given our pastor a message we need to proclaim. That's why the recording needs to be clean. Because people need to hear a clean word. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why the church needs to be clean. It's part of the vision. It's part of the vision. So you see that you're part of the vision. And it's God's vision to you. You know, I've got two kids. My daughter, my son. My daughter sings in the choir now. She's 12, but she sings with the church, with the main choir. That's one of the privileges of a pastor's child. So, but my daughter is more outspoken. My son works with the media team. He just wants to stay behind computers. So one day I was asking them that, would you like to preach one day? The man said, no. So I don't like to stand in front of people. My daughter can't wait. She can't wait to just stand in front of people. In fact, last Sunday, my secretary was ordained as one of our ministers. Then my daughter walks up to her and says, now that you're ordained as a minister, I'm going to be the new secretary. Do you understand that? Now, different personalities, but you need all of them. We must recognize that your personality is important. There are parts in the body that are hidden. Unfortunately, we have celebrated the parts that are outspoken more than the hidden parts. Who cleans the church? Do you know sometimes sanctuary cleaners are the most underrated departments in the church? They don't give them awards. But you see, some of the most faithful people you will ever have are sanctuary cleaners. That's one department that you just see one old woman who is faithful for years. No complaint, nothing. It takes patience to work in that department because nobody's recognizing you. They don't wear uniform. They don't come when there are people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you see, we want to do what... That's why choir always has issues. Because people think that choir is a pathway to becoming a star. One young man was playing in my keyboard. We were playing the keyboard in church. He was always causing issues. So I called him. I said, what was the problem? He said, they are not aligning my gifts to... I said, you don't have any gifts. You don't have any gifts. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Say, because if you don't adjust this character, even if you go and do secular music, you will not be able to work with people. The greatest of secular musicians, of course, I'm not somebody who would praise secular musicians, but have you ever watched the documentary of Michael Jackson preparing for a music show? The details, the diligence, the strain. How do we prepare for our meetings? I always tell my church people, don't manage anything for God. Eh? It's okay, we can just manage it. Don't manage it. Get the best. Get the best doesn't mean get the most expensive. Be orderly. Do your things. Let people walk in and see that even if this is a small church, they are going somewhere. But see yourself as part of a God-given team. Number two, value the vision and the work. I like this scripture a lot. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 3. They sent messengers to Nehemiah to come down for a meeting. He says, so I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work and I'm unable to come down. Why should the work stop? Why I leave it and come down to you? Do you know that what Nehemiah was building was not the whole of Jerusalem? It was the fence he was constructing. And theologians will say he constructed it in 52 days. Imagine building a fence and saying it's a great work. What about Solomon who built the temple? What will he say? So it tells us that it was not what he was doing, it was who gave him the assignment. So when you are a part of a church, see what you're doing as a great work. Taking care of the children, it's a great work. Managing the facility so pastor can preach well, it's a great work. And don't succumb to distraction. Value the work. See, anything that has to do with God, value it. Value it. Value it. I remember something happened one time and my wife just looked at me and said, you're kind of hot. You know, of course that day we had a massive program. I guess my folks were tired. You know, usually when we close, because we stay in the church compound, we walk around. So we, and my wife was, we had cooked. She was extremely tired. We walked around and then I saw one of the toilets. I don't know what happened, whether the person had issues. Somebody just messed up the floor. You know what's the, as a pastor of the church, what's the easiest thing to do? Pick my phone, call one of the, do you understand? Guess what I did? I cleaned the place. In fact, I didn't tell my wife, because if I told her, she would have said, oh, no problem, I'll do it. But I cleaned it. You know why I cleaned it? Since it has to do with God's house, it's valuable. If it was my house, I'd probably call someone. If it was someone, do you understand what I'm saying? Never be too big to be part of a team. Never be too big not to do anything for God. Don't outgrow things. In those days when we used to serve God. In those days when we used to clean the chair. No! You come into this place, the place is dirty or something, get involved. Get involved. Being a church worker is not a step to greatness. I always tell people, Jesus did not say service is the pathway of greatness. No, service is greatness. You are not using it to become great. Mm-mm. Your service is the greatness itself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because when people serve after a while, they don't see that form of greatness. They become frustrated. That's why people say, I served in that church and there's nothing to show for it. The nothing they are saying now is they didn't make them deacon. You know, if we start teaching this, we will be comfortable with somebody coming into the church tomorrow who is called as a pastor and is ordained as a pastor. Why somebody who's been in the church for 30 years, who is called into the ministry of mercy and serving and the rest, is comfortable that a pastor has been ordained. You know, one of the reasons why we don't recognize gifts that come into our churches is we're thinking of how to please those who have been there for a long time. Because sometimes we have altered our churches to make these things a reward for longevity. Say you have been here for 30 years. And we have to ordain you as a pastor. You cannot be here for 30 years and you're not a pastor. And God did not call the man. He gets on the pastoral board and causes confusion. So he thinks the pastoral board is his town association. So when they may say, well, I have something to say. In my town, people say that when chicken cross to tortoise and tortoise cross to chicken, I know we are in a pastoral meeting, but I'm not a small child. Trouble. My brother, you have ordained trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you mustn't use church positions as rewards for people. God rewards people. Let everybody who is a church worker know that my reward is with God and I will serve as unto the Lord. So whether you have end of year awards and all of that, I don't have a problem with that, but it's something I've really never endorsed. Because the truth of the matter is that you only award what people show you externally. You don't know their hearts. See, I don't mind. Cooking rice, chicken, goat, suya. In December, I did it. We had ram suya. We watched this Forge movie. I just told all my people, we're on break. So I said, we're going to open the church. So they were going to watch movie. And I didn't tell them we'll eat suya. If not, the place will be full. So I just said, we're going to watch movie. I don't have a problem with church enjoying, having good time and everything. But you see, immediately with that saying, this is the best worker for the year, you will be deceived next year. Even if you get the first year right, from that year onwards, human beings, they will do everything in your presence when your heart is not there. You see, we must never breed competition in church. And the truth of the matter is that it's only God that rewards. It's only God that rewards. Deal with offense. Ecclesiastes 10:4. If the ruler's temper rises up against you, do not abandon your place, because composure puts great offense to rest. Deal with offense. There's nothing that makes people stop working for God than offenses. deal with offense. See, your pastor is a man. He will offend you. He will say things you don't like. He will act in ways you don't like, but deal with it. I'm a pastor's child. I grew up in a pastor's home, right? Served my dad and still serve my dad. You know, when I took over the ministry and, you know, my dad ordained me and gave me a larger portion of the ministry, people always ask me, how is it like just working with your dad? I say, man, it's not easy. It's not easy. You know, sometimes the man will do things. I remember I wanted to do something in a ministry. I wanted to change something. And he said, no, you cannot change it. I said, daddy, that thing is old. This is... He said, no, we are not doing things. There's no new school. There's no old school. I said, okay, sir, I'm sorry, sir, I'm sorry. I was pained. You know how all those times you feel that you have had a vision from God. God has shown you the way forward. The man said, no, you're not doing anything like that. So don't think it's easy to work with anybody. Whether it's your biological father, whether it's your spiritual father, whether it's your pastor. As far as there's human interaction, certain times things will not go away. But the Bible says that do not abandon your position. Don't leave your place because of offense. Many people have left their places for offense. Stay. Brother Kidman was talking about Brother Hagin. And he said, sometimes, you know, when they are serving Brother Hagin, you know, in this trouble, Brother Hagin will sing. Brother Hagin will want his tomatoes in a certain way. He grew up in a place where they do the tomatoes this way. And he will feel like this is the best way. He says, but he is not the one eating it. It's Brother Hagin. Do his tomatoes the way he wants it done. Praise God. Praise God. Learn to serve. Learn to serve without offense. Offense blocks the blessing. One of the greatest lessons of the word of faith that I appreciate with my heart is the love teaching. Walking in love. Walking in love. Get Brother Hagin's book, Love, the Road to Victory. Read that book again. Read it again. Read it again. Read it again. Read it again. It's a great book. Find your God-given place and stay there. Everyone has a part in the body. 1 Corinthians 12:23. And those parts of the body which we consider less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our less presentable parts become much more presentable. Romans 12:4-5. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and all the members have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many are one body, and each member belongs to one another. You have your place. Let me just say this. If you know that God has not called you to sing, leave the choir. Don't cause trouble. Right? Don't be in the choir and be saying, listen to the songs. Don't mind the voice. That doesn't make sense. The words come out from the voice. We mind everything. Don't cause trouble. Right? If you know you don't like working with kids, don't go to the children's church. I mean, sometimes I see adults, men who work with children, and I'm surprised. They will roll on the floor, they will laugh. I like children, but the thing with me is they don't know when to stop. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I will never be a good children teacher. I don't know if you understand. God has given you gifts. Stay there. Whether that place is prominent or not. You might be a children teacher who is in the children hall and nobody ever knows you. The one person who made John Maxwell to become a pastor was their children teacher. He always taught them, when you want to accept Jesus, say this. And when John Maxwell wanted to receive the Lord Jesus, he heard the voice of the children teacher. Pastor told us of the teacher who was, you know, doing Bible studies with him every year, even though he didn't want to attend. So let's not focus on what is important. Or what we think is important, sorry. Let's focus on what God has called us. Lastly, learn order. 1 Corinthians 14:40. As a church worker, learn order. Learn order. Let me say this. No, 14:40. Let everything be done in decency and in order. Let me say this to you, right? Let me just say this, right? We are in Nigeria, and we have grown up in a system sometimes where a lot of things are not done orderly. So the challenge is sometimes we bring that into the church and we don't respect order. So let's say you are a member of the choir and you have a HOD, but you are close to the pastor, or you started the church with the pastor. When something comes up, you don't report to the pastor first. Your first point of call is your HOD. Don't undermine authority. Learn order. Learn order. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Learn order. And in your ministry, let there be order. My wife serves as the executive pastor of the Bonia Island Church. Now, there are things she deals with that I don't deal with. There are certain things she brings to me. I say, that's your office. Deal with it. However you want to deal with it, it's fine. Learn decency and order. Sound people, learn order. Wires must not be seen everywhere. Arrange your microphones properly. These simple things. Learn order. Have extra batteries. Ensure that the battery that is going to be used to preach is fully charged. It's not the man of God is preaching halfway. And the guy is confused. Is it time up or what? You know, sometimes emergency can happen. But if emergency is happening every week, you are an emergency that needs to be dealt with. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Fuel cannot be finishing in the middle of a set. These things are disorderliness. And let me tell you, there's no greater move of the spirit than where there's order. So I pray for us today that we'll come into greater levels of order in the name of Jesus. Let's stand on our feet. Pastor, come forward quickly.
Thank you for listening to Dear Timothy Podcast. For more information, please visit www.pastormax.ng or call +234 805 888 7575. Thank you.